Hey everyone, it's Deb, and you're listening to my podcast, Debbie Does Dating. Today, I have a special guest. Her name is Sarah, and I'm going to introduce you to her in a minute, but I met Sarah at one of my networking meetings, and I immediately liked her because she just has this energy, and it's awesome. So we had lunch, and I got to know her a little bit more, and she has a pretty amazing story.
Debbie Does Dating with your host, Debbie Clawson, sponsored by Dating by Deb.
One story that we talked about, I thought would be good for her to share with us because she learned a lot and I learned a lot. So, Sarah, how are you?
I'm doing great, Deb.
Great. How about you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm married. Mm-hmm. I've got a 13-year-old daughter named Rose. My husband's name is Chris. And we live in Liberty, Utah. And kind of brand new to this area. We kind of grew up like with family in the east, you know, on the east coast in Maine.
Okay.
And along the eastern seaboard.
You kind of have a little bit of an accent still. I love it.
Do I?
Yeah, I feel like you do. Maybe I just have a Utah accent.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's good. A little bit of an accent from the East Coast is okay, but not the full Monty there because, I grew up in Maryland where they did not pronounce their D's. It was very...
Okay.
Yeah, anyway, we can scratch that part. But really, growing up on the East Coast was amazing, but we fell in love with the West. And my husband and I both love to hike and be in nature. We just love the mountains. And so he, in his earlier career and out in the outdoor industry, he was on the West Coast and doing his thing at Mammoth Lakes. Anyway, we both love to ski. We found Liberty and we absolutely love it.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad. What do you do for a living?
So I'm a 22-year licensed massage therapist. So that was a bulk of my career was doing massage. And I love helping people through their injuries. I love helping people through really connecting to their mind, body, and spirit. Like that's the way I love to serve is really, I love people feeling better after they've received sessions. And for the last 10 years, I've been partnered with a company that is kind of leading the field in a science. It's right in line with epigenetics. So it's about using natural compounds that are working at that DNA level. So between massage and expanding inventions globally, that's kind of what my jam is these days.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so there is a reason why I haven't told an awkward dating moment because the story that Sarah told me, I just realized when I went to lunch with her, I'm like, everybody has a story. I think it's so awesome. And stories are so great. You can relate so well to stories or hear somebody else's story that you cannot relate to, but can learn from. So your story, Sarah, was a bit awkward for you, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what I'm going to have you do...
Very awkward.
But you learned a lot, and I learned a lot. So what I want on this podcast episode to be is honoring your own value. And then realizing, you know, we're not all going to do everything perfectly. We're here to learn. We do things. We make mistakes. We learn from it. And especially as singles out in the dating world and things like that, we're going to make some choices that maybe we wish we hadn't or maybe we could really learn from. So tell us the story you told me, Sarah.
I'm going to tell you where I am right now. And then I'm going to share with you kind of what my life was like. So.
Okay.
I'm happily married now, and my husband and I met at the age of 38 and 39. We had never been married before, but both of us, right?
Oh, cool.
And so just think about that. For me, I had gone through my entire life dating and really wanting to find my soulmate and wanting to find the right guy to settle down with. And so what I kept running into was really not the right situation with the right guy, or maybe they were the bad boy, or maybe they weren't really what I was thinking they were, you know? My story is I traveled to study massage in Thailand.
Oh, when I was in
Thailand. Yeah. So it was really great. And on that trip, I met a man who lived in South Africa. And so it was the accent that attracted me. It was, we were in Thailand, right? We weren't even in our own surroundings or own countries. So there was an attraction, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, the chemistry and everything like that was there. Mm-hmm. And we had a great time. And then when we split and I went back to the U.S. and, you know, he went back to South Africa, we made plans that I would actually go to South Africa and visit him.
Oh, okay.
So it was just like, yeah, I love to travel. I love to see the world. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. There were a lot of red flags along the way that mm-hmm. I should have been paying attention to, right? Because what happened was when I went to South Africa, I realized that he was kind of from a poor dairy farmer family. And mm-hmm. he was not necessarily, you know, the guy, right, that I thought he was. Mm-hmm. It was like kind of this facade in like this other country. So I traveled all the way to South Africa and we had planned a road trip from Durban to Cape Town. Mm-hmm. And it was really tough because as soon as I got into the country and we saw each other for the first time, I knew mm-hmm. the kind of sick that I flew all the way.
Oh.
And it was kind of this romanticized idea of, this man, you know, he seems so amazing. And then really not putting the pieces together, like actually being realistic about the situation. Mm-hmm. So.
So did you say when you landed and when you saw him, you were like, this is not a good idea.
Yeah, this is not really a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of these awkward situations for like 2 weeks.
Oh, really wow. You had a 2 week
it
long
like
awkward dating moment?
That was a 2 week awkward dating moment.
Whoa.
And yeah, and because it was one of those things where I realized right away that I had made a big mistake. Mm-hmm. And what was I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just really looking for kind of this romantic coming together and being, you know, in another country. And mm-hmm. it was very much romanticized.
So back up a little bit. You said that there were red flags that maybe you ignored. What were some of the red flags? Maybe to help somebody else.
Well, I mean, the red flags were his uncertainty, mm-hmm. me being able to actually get in touch with him. Did he even own a computer? I'm not even sure. You know what I'm saying? Like, was there a phone in the house or was it down the street?
Uh-huh.
It was just one of those situations where I was like, okay. And so the red flags, they started to unfold right before the trip. And those were some of them. I was just like, oh, well, maybe he had a hard time getting my message. Or
Mm-hmm.
It was
kind of talking yourself into the trip.
Yeah, I was kind of talking myself in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was painting this picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really the thing. Like when I got to South Africa and we were on this trip, I knew that as soon as I got to Cape Town, that I needed to just jump on an airplane. Like, I really needed to, like, ditch the entire country. It mm-hmm. just wasn't the right fit. I kind of came to my senses, so to speak, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's what I did. You know, I basically said, I need to go check on an airline ticket
mm-hmm.
and make sure that it's all set. And when I got to the airport, I just said, this is our goodbye. I had to like break his heart basically, but I also just had to go.
Yeah.
And
so you have to think about you more than him at that point.
Yeah, I was not. So at that point, I felt terrible and I felt terrible about the whole thing. And
mm-hmm.
I kept thinking because there were so many people from home that were like, oh my gosh, she's going to South Africa and she's,
worried
she's
about
on this
you.
Romantic trip. Yeah, they weren't even worried, but they were, like, interested to hear how
So they were maybe romanticizing it, too.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh, my gosh, she's going to South Africa to stay with this guy. And
And so when I got on the plane, I sat next to a gentleman who, he was doing studies with the Bushmen of the Kalahari. I mean, he was very interesting. Mm. His family lived in South Africa. He lived in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a really interesting talk. I started feeling really ashamed
mm-hmm.
of what I did. You know, like, why would I do that? What was I thinking?
Yeah.
You
know, thinking of facing people at home? Is that what made you really start thinking that? Yeah.
Yeah, like, what was I going to say? So I had to, one, just evaluate. For me, with my dating in general,
mm-hmm.
that was sort of the exaggerated example, right, of my dating. There wasn't the checklist of, okay, they need to have this, this, and this, you know,
okay.
and really looking at what was going to serve me. It was always about, I don't know. I mean, serving them too, right? But it's like I was never with the right guy. I mean, let's be honest. I was never with the right guy before that. And I did not choose them well. Mm-hmm. And so on that plane flight home, I started to really look at, you know, myself in a way like, well, what is it? Like, why do I keep landing, you know, with guys that just are not, literally not a good match?
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept thinking about my own, like, relationship with myself. Like, what do I deserve? It goes right along with, am I enough? Or, you know, do I deserve the best guy? Like, there is
What's the underlying?
It's the underlying piece to making the wrong decisions. So when I was on this flight home, I really sat there and decided that I deserve a partner in life that has his stuff together, that values me, that treats me well, that is already successful, that, you know, I started to really say, unless the checklist is got all the boxes checked, I should really slow down and not do something like I just did, like go to South Africa.
Yeah.
So it was almost like this line in the sand of, okay, enough is enough. You've had your fun, but like, what are you attracting? What is your vibe that is attracting your man tribe? That for me was just the eye opener to being more confident and just making better decisions.
At some point, did you start writing down what you're looking for and being more specific after that?
Yeah.
When you were talking to me about your story and the plane ride home, I loved that part of the story because you talked about what have I done, and you just start feeling bad and wondering why you made these decisions and feeling kind of dumb and all of that. What you did to help yourself at that point, I just loved. So let us know what you did there.
Yeah. Well, it was really about, what did I want to be sharing with people? What messaging did I want to hear about my experience? So I was framing different ways. I was recreating my story so that it wasn't ingraining the shame of the trip.
Yeah, it wasn't
shaming
you. Because
if I went back, it's like, if I were to tell people actually what happened and have to hear myself just saying, you know what, I really made a mistake and I can't even believe I did that.
Yeah, I'm so dumb. Why would I do that?
So what I did is I just took the time to craft a story that had me winning in the end.
That's
the story that I told over and over. And it wasn't the story of shame. It was the story of what an adventure. He's definitely not the right one, but I picked the highlights of the trip that I could to actually feel really good about. I had an adventure.
Because what's the alternative? The alternative is just to feel horrible about yourself, feel like you can't make good decisions, and it just spirals down into this whole negative experience. So I love that you did that. I love that you created a story, and it's not like you made anything up. You picked up the highlights. I love that, how you said that you win. Plus, you also said, that was the line in the sand, you're like, enough is enough. You learned a ton on that trip.
Yeah, it was my line in the sand. And for those that are tuning into the podcast, I think many of us have gone through bad dating situations, and we keep ending up with like the guy that's not treating us well, or the guy that's not quite right, and the guy that's just not going to serve your highest good. And I think when that repeated pattern comes up, I think it's really important to take a look at, okay, what is it that I'm getting out of it? And for me, not being with the right guy, it was my vulnerability. It was opening my heart. Like, I didn't really want to open up. I knew that if they weren't the right fit, I wouldn't fully open up and get crushed. You know, like if they broke up with me. You know, so there's this level of vulnerability that I wasn't ready to have. And we all set ourselves up sometimes for things not to work out, because one of the scariest things to do is to open your heart.
Yeah, I did a lot of self-sabotaging through my dating years. And I also think there are a lot of us people pleasers out there. I'm working on me, but I think we get into a relationship and you're just all about not thinking about what you need, thinking about what you can give and give and give and give. And I think you get into situations where You're like, you think it's selfish to think of yourself, but you need to because, you know, you're the only one that's looking out for yourself at the moment.
Right. Or you're the helper. You're helping them because they need, they need somebody like you in their life. They're tanking in other parts of their life, you know, and you're trying to like rescue them.
Yeah.
It's like the rescuer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good to give and that, but not at the expense of yourself, because I think some people, we know some people out there take advantage of that. You just need to be aware when you get into a relationship, you have to take a look at it and say, is this serving me?
Exactly. Is this something that is actually honoring my best self?
Okay, yeah, that's a better way to put it. Much better.
My highest self.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships, we do set ourselves up. They say, surround yourself with the five people who you want to be like, right? Or who inspire you the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important when we're talking about our dating world too, because we are afraid of our own light, of being great. We are afraid to shine bright because for fear of being looked at, rejected, whatever it is. But it's like our biggest fear is shining bright. So if we surround ourselves, even in a partnership, that has a slightly dimmed down, then it's easier.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's easy to not be having that person bring out the bright, you know. So I think there's a lot of mirroring that happens in who we choose to partner with.
Exactly. Do you make each other want to be the best you can be? I think that's good. I have heard about people talking about how, quote unquote, easy it is, you know, when you find the one. And I'm not saying that everything's easy, but there's this ease to it, I think, is what they're trying to say, is you just fit. You fit together.
Mm-hmm.
There is an ease to it. You fit together to where you want to fight for that.
Life is like a series of lessons. And I think when we can honor our own value, it's like literally a reflection of your relationship with yourself. Right? So how much do you value yourself? We always have those little voices inside that can sabotage us and everything like that. But it's knowing that we all are enough and that we all are bright and deserve the best.
Exactly. We all do. From your experience that you had, what sort of things changed in order for you to find your husband now?
Well, I started to go to work on myself a little bit more. I was working with an energy worker, and she was also acupuncturist and Chinese medicine expert. And she ran a class, and it was called Power Through Partnership. And it was around manifesting. And basically, it was around healing the shame, healing your connection to money, healing your connection to God. It was all around like healing the different parts that allow us to begin to receive, right? Because I think part of it for me was I was always on the go. I was always looking. I was like the arrow. It was that time where I just needed to sit still and slow down and actually receive everything that's there. And so it was me getting out of my comfort zone to go on to Match.com. Like, I was not a Match.com girl at all. It was like, going to meet him in a yoga class or on a trail or, you know, at the Whole Foods or whatever. You know, I mean, that was kind of like, I was going to meet my guy somewhere in like life, right? I wasn't, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
And so part of the work in this class that happened over a 3-month period was a lot of doing things that were kind of not really what I would normally do. And so I got a subscription to Match.com for like, I think it was like 30 days. I don't know. It was short, but I thought, I think I'm just going to date. I'm just going to go on a date. It doesn't mean I have to have a relationship.
Yeah.
I'm pretty monogamous. Like, I can't date more than one person. I'm like terrible at it. But with this particular time, I was like, okay, I'm just going to go on a date. We'll see what happens. And it was through Match.com that my husband and I met, and it was instant. I mean, we fell in love on the phone. We were engaged in 5 weeks, and it was in a place that I would never have gone had I not started to do the work. So,
yeah,
I mean, for those out there that are sort of in this same sort of swirl of not dating or something like that, do something different.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, do something you don't think about doing or would never dream that you meet a person like
exactly.
that or, you know, a man or a woman. Yeah.
I love that. My situation was similar where dating literally made my stomach turn. And I remember telling somebody, I feel like if it's the right time for me, I wouldn't hate it so much. And I also did some work, the thought work, and it changed my thinking. I wanted to improve myself and to do things like that where I thought, okay, I want to have experiences. I want to meet new people. I want to get good at communicating with different kinds of people. And so that got me super excited. And it's the same thing you were saying. I did something that I didn't think that I would want to do again. And I also met my husband online. So,
okay.
So I agree with you. I feel like if you are improving yourself and, you know, having experiences and stuff like that, it'll naturally just attract who you portray. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's having a clear vision.
Mm-hmm.
It's having that list. Even if you don't have a visual picture of what exactly, but I think that vision, and then it's about the frequency of your being. And so if you're looking to attract somebody who's all of these things, it's going to be important for you to be on that same frequency,
yes.
which means being the best for yourself and taking care of your mind, your body, your spirit, all the things that are going to attract that person.
Yes.
And working with the mindset, I mean, is always key.
Yeah. Yes. Well, thank you so much, Sarah. I loved hearing your story. And I just think that you are so wise. You've had experiences where I love talking to you because your connection to yourself, I just admire that in you. And I appreciate you sharing your story so that we can help others. And I think the main thing to remember is, well, there's a few things. If you feel like you see red flags, pay attention to those because they're there for a reason. Stay
right.
safe and honor your value. Honor yourself, especially when you're dating.
Absolutely.
All right. Well,
absolutely,
it was fun.
Absolutely, Deb.
I will have to have you on again because you're so full of wisdom. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. See you guys next time.
Hey, are you spinning an indecision? Maybe you're stuck wondering where or how to move forward. Or are you at the point where you can just take one day at a time? I'm a dating coach and I can help. In my one-to-one coaching calls, we'll talk about where you are now, where you want to be, and how I can help you get there. We can do this. I believe in you. Do you want dating tips, funny stories, and real-life experiences on the joys and sorrows of being single? Follow me on Instagram, Dating by Deb, and please interact. I love socializing with you.
Debbie Does Dating with your host, Debbie Clawson, sponsored by Dating by Deb.